The Reverend Jack Yates was one of the most significant leaders in Houston's African-American community in the post-slavery years. He was instrumental in the purchase of Emancipation Park in the Third Ward, used for the annual Juneteenth celebration. In 1870, Reverend Yates and other men from his family built a house on Andrew Street in the Freedmanstown area of the Fourth Ward, and members of his family lived there until the 1960s. In 1994, the historic house, donated to the nonprofit Heritage Society, was moved to Sam Houston Park downtown and restored to its previous glory. Martha Ann Whiting Goddard is the great-granddaughter of Jack Yates. She grew up in the house. She met Houston Matters' Troy Schultz at the 1870 Yates House at Sam Houston Park to learn more about Yates' life and his role in shaping how Juneteenth is celebrated here.
Reverend Jack Yates was the first elected pastor of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in 1868. That church still exists at 500 Clay in downtown Houston. We're here today at the Jack Yates House, which was donated to the Heritage Society in 1994 by Reverend Yates's granddaughter, Martha C. Whiting, who was my mother, and her five daughters, Jackie, Sammy, Nan, Tommy, and me, Martha.
Tell me a little bit about Reverend Yates's significance in Houston history.
Well, Reverend Yates came to Texas with his family during the end of slavery. They went to Matagorda County, and when emancipation came on June 19, 1865, after 6 months of staying in Matagorda, Jack and his family moved here to Houston. Jack was very industrious, and he was a drayman. He moved people's furniture around, and he worked with the American Home Baptists, who came here to educate the newly enslaved people and to help them learn how to live in the society. He worked with their churches in the back of, such as Antioch, which was founded in 1866, in the back of First Baptist Church and the German Baptist Church. And from that relationship, when he became the first elected pastor of Antioch, the members of the church, they started out as 12 and they grew over time, and they were here along Bagby Streets off of Buffalo Bayou at a place called Baptist Hill, which is at the corner of Bagby and Rusk, where the Hobby Center and the federal courts are. They decided, after they had been organized, that they needed a place to celebrate Juneteenth, as well as to have church picnics. And so Jack was very instrumental in Antioch working with Trinity United Methodist Church to organize an effort to find a park. They had a committee that was the Houston Colored People's Festival Committee that went out to find a place to have celebrations, such as Juneteenth and Emancipation Day and church functions.
And so that's how Emancipation Park came to be, correct?
Right. So as such, they were able to purchase in 1872, which is within, from 1865 to 72, 7 years of being freed, property that we still have today that the city owns now. That is Emancipation Park.
So tell me a little bit about this house. What are some of the sort of interesting features of it?
Well, the house, when it was moved here from Fourth Ward, it was located on Andrew Street. And when it was moved here, the Heritage Society stripped down all the floors and all the walls because it had wallpaper. Jack's daughter, Pinky, who owned it, had put electricity in 1928 and had put wallpaper up and things like that. So the curators stripped down the walls and took the computer and they analyzed the wood to see what colors were in the house originally in 1870 when it was built. Jack built the house with his brother George and his brother-in-law Q. Willis. They were part of the Union soldiers who came here to free the slaves in Texas, and they were from Virginia. And so what the colors are you see here are what the original colors were.
This furniture, some of the original furniture?
Well, there's some family furniture in here, but not in this room. Only the piano, which belonged to Jack's daughter, Mariah. And it's been used by like 3 generations of people to learn how to play the piano. And the clock on the wall, that was a family clock.
What would be kind of a typical family scene in this house?
Well, when I was a child, because I lived in this house until I was 12 years old. So when I was a child, this room was used for, yes, you practiced your piano lessons, but, you know, like at Christmas, you had a Christmas tree and you had guests and people who came in and out to, you know, visitors, unless they were coming for tea or for dinner. They would be sitting here, you know, they'd sit in this room. And if you, like during the 40s or 50s, it's like we have a picture of my grandmother and my great aunt. My grandmother was Nanny Yates County and Pinky Yates, who owned the house prior to my mother and her daughters. They have a family picture of all of them on the sofa together, my grandmother's 4 children and their husbands and wives like that.
How does it make you feel when you see it kind of displayed in this way, having grown up here and now it's been relocated into downtown Houston?
Well, first you just have to get a little used to it because it's not what it was when you were a child. However, you always feel like you've come home because if you were here when you were little and everything was going on around you, it still feels very much like home. And you know the people's spirits and how they felt the love that was shared here. You feel it when you come in here. And you know that many people entered in and out of here who were from the church and from the community. And I think Well, Jack had 11 children. So you know when you have that many children, you have lots of people who are always around you with a lot of love, and it's a lot of business and food and activities happening.
What was the process like to actually relocate this house and bring it here?
Well, as far as I know, because I haven't read all the things, Cherry Moving Company worked with the Heritage Society, but they had to work with the electric company, all the city ordinances. It took a major effort to move it here because it had to come over across that bridge at Dallas Street, and all the electrical wires and communication things had to be taken down or removed for some period of time. So they moved it like in the middle of the night, like at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Right.
They started dismantling it and in the day and put it on the, because it's a pier beam house, they put it on the structure that they were going to move it on. But then they didn't come and move it until the middle of the night. And my mother was still alive then. And so she came with my older sister, Jackie, and they watched them move the house down here.
Can you talk a little bit about the celebration that's going to be going on this Saturday here at the Heritage Society?
For Juneteenth, we have the tours going on, and then we also have a speaker series from 11 to about 1 or 2 that this year we're focusing on Trinity United Methodist Church, which will be celebrating its 175th anniversary next year. And as you know, Reverend Elias Dibble and Reverend Yates, those were the two main people in charge of pushing for the purchase of Emancipation Park for $800 151 years ago. So we try to work with all the churches because they were the main stables that helped bring things to fruition within such a short period of time after people were emancipated. So Trinity United Methodist Church used to be on Travis and Bell, downtown. So you see Antioch is at Clay, but it was 313 Robin. So they were within two blocks of each other. So you can imagine all the people who went to Antioch and who went to Trinity, they all knew each other. And the trustees, it was four trustees of each church who worked together to help purchase the Emancipation Park property. And they looked for a long time. They had several choices of places, but they wanted someplace that was easily accessible where they could have the parade, mm-hmm. a parade to go from where they were downtown to, you know, someplace close by. Plus, with the railroad ending at Bagby Street and Congress, it would be very easy for people to come from outlying areas into downtown Houston to participate and come to the park to the parade. The parade did start at Congress and Hutchins. They would organize them at their churches and go up there with the carriages and all the people marching. And they had two different parades. One was the flower parade and one was an industrial parade. So at least there was not just one day of activity, there were at least 2 days of activities. So you'll see pictures of two of my aunts who did decorate. They were decorated in their carriage in 1908, but the parades really started like the year they purchased the park. So from at least at the stage it is 1872 on. And Antioch Church, we weren't even able to purchase the church property where it exists until 1874. And the cornerstone is from 1875. Wow. So you see, these people were busy.
Yeah.
They had a vision and they were busy.
Yeah.
They didn't have time to waste. They knew they were newly freed and they wanted to celebrate. And they wanted a safe place to celebrate. And that's how they got those 10 acres on Emancipation and Elgin.
What do you hope that people take away from their experience here at the Heritage Society and especially the Jack Yates House?
Here at the Heritage Society, you can learn many things about Houston's history. And during Juneteenth, we like to make sure that we expose people to different things that have happened here in Houston, both in the past and in the present and in the future. And so we hope you'll come out and visit us and see our exhibits and learn more about Houston and where we came from and how we are still growing and going here.
Martha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Martha Whiting Goddard. She's the great-granddaughter of the Reverend Jack Yates, whose 1870 house, originally located on Andrew Street in Freedmanstown, was moved to Sam Houston Park in 1994. The nonprofit Heritage Society at Sam Houston Park has special events, programs, and exhibits planned in celebration of Juneteenth, including this Saturday. We've posted a link at our website where you can learn more. Whiting Goddard spoke with Houston Matters' Troy Schultz.